Hi, this is Amherst Eclectic, back for another podcast, and I saw a list of things was actually on one of the pages that I follow on Instagram, and they had a list of teach us about consent, or teach us consent, and I thought they were interesting points that were being made. And I thought, well, you know, I'd like to talk about that on this podcast. Since, you know, we're talking about sex positivity and sex and how it can be a wonderful thing. You know, there are a lot of people who are abusive in sex. And a lot of people that may not know that they're abusive in sex because they've learned sex from porn. They haven't had proper sex education in their schools when they were growing up, etc., etc. So, it's the list is called 8 Realities About Sex That You Won't Learn From Porn. Okay, so the first thing in the list is that not all positions are pleasurable. People have different bodies, desires, and are pleasured differently. Ask your partner what they enjoy and if they'd like to try something before doing it. And I have, and on this point, I have elaborated over and over again that, you know, I'm female, so I think particularly men need to really focus on this, asking about what a woman likes, what a woman wants. And, you know, I think women should do the same for a man. You know, I've done that. I think every woman should. But there's probably a lot more men. I mean, I wouldn't be with them if they didn't listen to me when I needed and what I wanted. It probably would be a one and done. If they weren't open to listening to me. So, I wouldn't be in a relationship with them if they weren't listeners. So I think that's why I've had a pretty good experience in my sex life, because, you know, I don't rush into sex and relationships right away, and I get to know people before I am intimate with them, etc. I think most people should. You know, I understand people have their one-night stands, whatever. But you're going to have a lot better sex if you are, you know, getting to know someone before you actually get intimate with them. And usually you can tell as you're building up to more and more intimacy. You start with a kiss, or start with holding hands, or, you know, then you move to a kiss, then you move to hugs, and, you know, you get more, slowly more intimate as the relationship goes. Hopefully you're not rushing into things, but when you do take your time and you do listen to each other, I think you'll know even before you get into having a intimate or sexual relationship whether this person is going to listen to you or not, right? Just as if they're listening before you even take those steps into a bedroom or into a sexual, you know, relationship. But you have to talk to each other. You know, when they say communication is key in every relationship, they're not just talking about outside of the bedroom. They're talking about inside of the bedroom as well. And many times, what you do outside of the bedroom is going to affect what happens inside of the bedroom, how someone feels about you, if they feel safe and if they trust you, etc., etc. So, and, you know, and when you are, once you are in the bedroom, especially if you're just, it's the first time you've had an intimate encounter with one another, you should be asking questions. You know, what do you like? Do you like this? Do you not like that? Am I doing this the right way? Whatever. How do you like this to happen? How fast do you like to move? How, you know, do you like to have a lot of foreplay? And what kind of foreplay do you want to have before we have sex, etc., etc.? And then once we are, once there's penetration, you need to slow down and ask your partner, do you want me to go slow? Do you want me to, go faster? Do you want me to use lubrication? Do you want me to wear a condom? All of those things have to come out. And you have to talk to one another. And even after you've begun to have sex, you continually have to communicate. Because you don't really know this person if it's the first time that you have had an intimate relationship with them. You need to get to know them. Porn is not real sex. It is all set up with lights and cameras. They only have so much time to get so much video in. So they usually, they're usually not showing you everything that happened. They cut scenes, so it looks like things are happening a lot faster than they are, and they're not. Whatever they filmed, they've probably cut it down to fit it into a certain amount of time because they have to keep your attention. And more, especially males, are getting a shorter attention span because of video games and those sort of things and social media. So they cut back on time on things a lot of times because they're trying to keep your attention. And so they make it look like things are happening faster when they're not. So slow down, take time. Sex doesn't take 7 minutes. If you are going to be intimate with somebody, it's going to be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour that you're going to be with each other. So, or just for one intimate sexual act, right? Just to make love one time. Just to have sex one time. If you're doing it right. If you're not, and you're taking far less time, then you're not doing everything that you need to do. And remember, like I said, everything you do, like going out to dinner, when you pick somebody up, when you're going out to the concert, when you're going to the play, whatever you're doing, whatever activity you are doing, going to dinner, whatever you're doing, going and hanging with friends, that's foreplay. You need to treat your partner right. You need to be courteous and respectful, and all of that is going to affect what happens in the bedroom, right? 98% of what happens in the bedroom is in your mind. The other 2% is physical. I mean, I'm just being honest. That's the truth. If you are taking the time to really get to know the person and make sure that they are happy. Right? Okay. Number two, a lot of people don't like rough sex. A study of the 50 most popular porn videos found that 88% of those porn videos include physical aggression, and 94% of that aggression was directed at a female and at the female performers. The reality is that rough sex can be invasive, uncomfortable, and traumatic for all people. Now, I really don't understand how you can look at a porn video and think that that's enjoyable for a woman. And I really don't understand how men can see that that's enjoyable for them. There's gotta be pain on both sides of the fence if you're having rough sex. You hear the stories about men who get their penises broken or get them bent or whatever when they're having sex. It's probably because they thought rough sex would be a good idea. And then when they were, going in and out of someone's vagina, they hit the wrong way and they broke their penis. Or sometimes when people are having sex from behind, and I've heard this more often than not, sometimes when people are having sex from behind, it will slip out of the vagina, and as he's trying to do the rough sex quickly in and out, he rams it up, his penis up into the anal canal, and that can be very painful if it is not done the right way. Anal sex, I'm not really a fan of it myself, but If you do not do anal sex right, it can be very, very painful, especially with a fully erect and engrossed penis. Blood-engrossed penis. It can be very painful. So you can't. Rough sex is not a good idea. If you don't know, haven't talked it out ahead of time, you don't know what you're doing, you don't understand in the positions that you're in, that you're not going to hurt one another. I mean, there's too much to risk to be going and having rough sex. Most people who want to have rough sex are violent people in the first place. And most people who are having rough sex, it's usually some sort of aggression they're trying to take out on their partner, and they're trying to hurt their partner in some way or another. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have fast sex. I'm not saying. I'm talking about invasive, rough, painful sex. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It hurts. And then also the other thing it does is it can tear the vagina. It can, you can injure your penis. And when you're tearing the vagina walls, then that's also getting infections, and sometimes excrement gets into the cracks and the things that are created in the vagina walls. And you don't want to be doing that because that causes infections. That causes what do you call it? Urinary tract infections, which can kill you. That's just why I say in other podcasts, you should really be showering in between sex. You should shower before you have sex. Everything should be clean, And a lot of prostitutes, actually, professional prostitutes around the world, insist that you take all your clothes off and get in the shower and get showered down before you can have sex with them. So, there you go. Not only are they wanting you to be clean, but they're also trying to inspect you for, I don't know, crabs, to see if you have any kind of a venereal disease, blisters, or anything like that. They're trying to make sure that they're not going to get some sexually transmitted disease as well. And many of them make you wear condoms if they're, legitimate. So, rough sex is not real sex. It is invasive. And it is a way for people to hurt someone. That's just my opinion, but apparently my opinion is not the only one because what I just read to you about rough sex, right? Okay. So you need to talk to your partner about this sort of things. Okay. Before you even have sex, because you don't want to be stuck with somebody trying to do that to you. And then when you're saying no, stop, they think you're just getting into the porn kind of thing. And telling them not to stop. Well, when someone says no, when someone says stop, you listen. You don't ever not listen when someone says that. Stop and then say, are you kidding or is this part of it? Whatever. Okay. Number three. Not everyone with a vagina will orgasm from penetration alone. And this is what we were talking about earlier. If your only sex education has been through porn, which let me say that's sad if your only sex education has been through porn, if you haven't gone out on your own and gone to Planned Parenthood has sexual education classes. There's really no excuse. If you didn't get such sexual education you should have gotten in school, if your parents didn't let you take sex education classes, they signed you out of them, whatever it is. You can take sex education classes at Planned Parenthood. They have them. Just FYI. But you should be getting your sex education from actual professionals who know, not porn stars, right? Not porn films. Okay, if your only education has been through porn, this might come as a surprise. Ask your partner what turns them on and what they enjoy. External stimulation is often far more pleasurable for many people. Now, I think there are people who like it all, who like penetration, they like external pleasure, they like it all. They like to try everything. There are some people that for them and their bodies, external stimulation is better. They're not gonna say, no, we can't have penetration sex, but, you know, for them to get to where they need to be, they need to have a little more foreplay, a little more playing with their clitoris, their vagina, whatever. Okay? Men, the same way. They may need to be masturbated before they can have sex. You know, they might like you to, you know, massage different areas of their body. Who knows? I mean, I know a lot of guys like being massaged. A lot of girls like being massaged. We're talking regular massages, you know, on the back and everything. That turns people on. There's a lot of things you can do. But for women, you know, the vagina, they may not have a vaginal orgasm if they are not getting foreplay that leads up to penetration. Okay? Getting, you know, there's ways that you can stimulate your partner before you have sexual penetration that will help for them to have an orgasm during penetration even. Or maybe they can have an orgasm before and then they can have another orgasm during penetration. I mean, guys, I'm telling you, what you want to do is you want to please your partner so that then they want to have sex with you more. And if you are good in the bedroom and you are treating them right in the bedroom, you are going to get more sex because your partner is going to feel loved, accepted, respected, adored, and they're going to feel sexy and they're going to want to have sex with you more if it's a pleasurable experience. I mean, A plus B equals C, right? You know, just figure it out. If somebody's enjoying an activity more, they're going to want to do it more. It just makes sense. So, you know, the other thing I always suggest, and I've suggested in other podcasts, you know, if you really want to know what a woman likes, where she likes to be touched, or if you really want to know what your man likes, where he likes to be touched, you sit on opposite sides of the bed and you each masturbate for each other. You know, put towels under you, whatever you need to do. And you show your partner and you watch each other masturbate. It's a turn on, number one. It's educational, number two. And it shows you how to get your partner to where they need to be. They're showing you, this is what I do when I masturbate when I'm alone. This is what I like. And that's what you need to ask your partner. Show me what you do when you're masturbating, when you're by yourself. What gets you to an orgasm? And you watch them very intently. Now, you can either both masturbate at the same time, or you can masturbate separately. So you can, you know, sort of watch what's happening. Most times, if you're watching your partner masturbate, you're going to get pretty excited and you're going to want to masturbate yourself. So watch each other, learn from watching your partner masturbate themselves. That's just a tip. Okay, four, size isn't the most important thing. All people are subjected to body standards in some way, which can make you feel inferior or self-conscious, but for many, size really doesn't matter. And foreplay, intimacy, and observing what someone enjoys are much more of a turn-on. So yeah, what I was saying before, observing your partner masturbate or even during making love or having sex, observing what they like to do more. But yeah, guys are so hung up on, you know, their penis size. And then, you know, of course, we have people hung up on, you know, whether vaginas are bigger or smaller. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, when you're with somebody that you love, you can figure that all out in the long run. Now, there might be some extremes in some people's lives where that, you know, there might be someone that is way too small for someone who has maybe a woman who might have a little bit larger vagina. But with women, the vagina expands. So most times, that's not going to matter much for a woman. You know, as you get more excited, your vagina opens up more. So, you know, it may not make that much of a difference on many occasions. But, you know, if there is a huge difference, you can always go to sex therapist or go to Planned Parenthood and ask them what you can do. There are things you can buy for men that will slip over the penis. That's like, you can put a condom on and then put something over the top of that. That can make you larger. It's all kinds of things you can do if that's something that bothers you, you know, that you can make your partner happier. Or, you know, like I said, foreplay ahead of time, use a vibrator. If she wants something larger, do use that before you actually have sex with each other. And don't feel insecure about it. You're just helping her to be excited and to be excited to have sex with you. That's why I always say to men, do whatever you have to do to make your woman happy and you'll have more sex. And vice versa. You know, if there's a problem with having sex with your husband or your partner, you know, the more he enjoys it, the more sex you're gonna have too. Because I know there's a lot of men who sometimes don't want to have sex. So, yeah, there's lots of things you can do. All right. Foreplay can be longer than 3 minutes. Oh, please let it be longer than 3 minutes. Please tell me that is not what you've been doing in your sex life, is limiting foreplay to a few tweaks here and there and then putting yourself inside or jumping on somebody. You know, you cannot do that. Okay, there's definitely a time and a place for quick sexual intercourse or interactions. But often, foreplay will last a long time, possibly even longer than penetration sex. And that's okay. What have we discussed? You want to get each other in the mood. And sex really is 98% in your brain. It's how you think, it's how you feel, it's how you love somebody, how much you care about somebody. Most of that has to do with how much you're attracted to somebody or whatever. But it's 98% in the brain, 2% is the physical. So making sure that you are exciting your partner with foreplay is very important. Again, foreplay happens before you even get in the bedroom. It's the time you spend together. It's what you do for one another. It's how much you care and respect and how you treat one another. That all is foreplay, baby. Because that's all going to come down to the way somebody feels about having sex with you. If they don't feel loved, if they don't trust you, they don't feel respected, someone's not going to want to have sex with you. Now, there might be the screwed up times that sex happens when that kind of stuff isn't being given. But to have really great sex, all of that stuff comes into play, as well as what comes into play in the bedroom. Okay. Six, consent can be withdrawn. So if someone says, yes, I want to have sex with you, and then in the middle of sex, they say, stop, don't want to have sex anymore, I'm done, you need to stop. No means no. Stop means stop. Listen to your partner. Communication. And just because you want to finish or get off or finish and have an orgasm, that doesn't mean you keep going after someone says stop. You get off, go into the bathroom, and masturbate yourself if that's what you need. But you walk away when they don't want you to be on them anymore. There's reasons that people stop. Sometimes they've had sexual trauma in their past. Okay, let me read what this says. It says, how often do you see a porn video end with someone saying they're not enjoying it anymore? Continually check in with your partner. And remember that consent can be withdrawn at any time, and it's not a personal attack. So it's not an attack against you. A memory might have come up, a bad memory. And who knows? You never know why those memories come up. And it's not your fault that your partner is having a bad memory from their past. It's the person in their past who did something to them, right? Or, you know, it could be so many things. It could be so many things that have nothing to do with you, nothing to do with your relationship, past traumas, Sometimes people have been sexually assaulted or raped, and something reminds them of that, and they need to stop, right? And maybe it's something they haven't told you, or they haven't felt comfortable telling you. I mean, a lot of people have a really hard time telling someone they've been raped or sexually assaulted because it's such a stigma with that. I know a lot of guys, if they found out a girl had been raped, they probably wouldn't want to be with her anymore. You know, unless they're twisted and have twisted reasons sometimes, or unless they really love somebody. But yeah, there's a lot of reasons that people could have something go through their mind, or maybe something's hurting physically and they want you to stop. Maybe you need more lubrication because it's too dry. I mean, there's a lot of things that can be going on. Maybe she feels better with you wearing a condom if you're not wearing a condom and she wants you to put a condom on. Maybe she wants you to take the condom off. Maybe she feels like sex is better without the condom. You know, there's so many reasons, which I do not recommend not wearing condoms. But we've had a whole discussion about sexually transmitted diseases. You never know where your partner's been. You can say you trust and love somebody, but you never know if they've been off screwing around with somebody else. I've had so many people in my life that they were screwing around with someone else. Not people that were involved with me, but just friends and people. You find out that they've been having an affair on their, and we as friends didn't even know they were having an affair. You know? So you gotta be careful. But yeah, consent. There has to be consent. And even if someone says in the middle of it, stop, get off of me, do it. You know, you can get excited again. It's not like it has to end. You don't be saying, but I want to finish up. Nope, don't do that either. Then get up, walk and go into the bathroom and finish up in the bathroom. Leave them alone. And then if you are kind enough, you won't do that, and you'll stay with your partner and say, okay, what's going on? What's happening? Why did you need me to stop? Is it something that I did? Did I make you feel insecure? Did I hurt you? Or is it a memory that you've had that you don't want to talk about? Or can you talk about it? You know, whatever it is, let me know. If you can't talk about it, that's okay. Maybe at a later date. But those are the kind of things that when people say no, when people say stop, when they withdraw consent and say, nope, I no longer want to have sex with you, you stop. I don't even care where you're at in the sex act. It ends right there. Okay? All right. But always make sure that you have gotten consent from your partner before you even touch their hand, before you even come within their boundary box, their personal boundary box. Every time, not just at the beginning of the relationship, every time you ask, whether you've been together 5 weeks or 50 years, you always ask for consent to step inside someone's personal space and to invade that area. Always. Okay. Seven. Good sex doesn't have to end in an orgasm. Doesn't have to end in an orgasm. Not everyone of any gender will climax every time they have sex. Sex isn't just a means to an end. And much of the pleasure will be in the build-up and all the moments during. I mean, a perfect example of that, which people, you know, say it's wonderful, 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 is tantric sex. The whole point sometimes in tantric sex is to stop just before you have an orgasm. To not orgasm. To have, you know, just keep building and building. And sometimes people do this for hours. But you don't have an orgasm. It's sometimes that's the whole point of certain types of tantric sex. So, you know, people talk about how wonderful it is. Because really, if you think about it, the orgasm's great and all, but it's the end. And it's a very short thing, doesn't last very long. And, well,
depends on who you are and if you have several orgasms, if you can, have several orgasms back to back, then that's different. Some people can, some people can't. But if you are doing sex right, the whole build up to the orgasm is the really exciting part. When you say you're getting me excited, when you say you're getting me hard, when you say you're making me want to have sex with you, that's you're building up to where you're going to have sex. That's you, the whole build up to the last few seconds where there's an actual orgasm. Okay, so the whole part of intimacy and sex is that buildup. Like I said, from the time you pick her up in the car, to the time you go to dinner, to the time you go to the concert, to the time you come home and start making out, to the time you're in bed having sex. That's all the buildup. Before the penetration, during the penetration, there's buildup even during that, before the orgasm. So it's all buildup. 98% of sex is in the mind, the rest 2% is physical, and that last part, the orgasm, is the very least of it all. You want to have an orgasm, you have to have all the other things happen before you can have an orgasm. And it doesn't mean that you always have to have an orgasm, right? I am of the belief that you can always have an orgasm. That both part, if your partner is having an orgasm, then you should be making sure that they have an orgasm every time. And if you are in good communication with your partner, that will happen. And people say, oh, you're crazy, that doesn't happen. It's happened to me. I've been with different people. It's happened to me. Now, I have had one night stands where it didn't happen. I haven't had many, and that's probably why I won't ever do it again, because I want to have an orgasm. I want to have great sex, and great sex comes from true intimacy, from trust and love and caring. And, people can say they're having great sex if they're having quickies and one night stands, but if you have, you're lucky. Because most times when people are having sex with people they don't know, they don't care about that person. They don't care if they're going to have an orgasm. They don't care if they're going to have pleasure. There might be some people who do care. I would probably be one of those people. If I was having a one-night stand, I'd still want my other person to have an orgasm. But there are a lot of people who just don't care. They're just in it for themselves. They're out looking for a body, some body, to have sex with and to use, like a blow-up doll. And they don't care if you have an orgasm, just so they have an orgasm. And this is, I would say, mostly men who would do that. I'm not saying women don't do the same. I'm not saying women don't go ahead and have an orgasm and then jump right off of a man and say, you're on your own. Sure, it happens. So, yeah. It doesn't have to end in orgasm. Sex can be a whole lot of other things, and it can be that whole buildup before the orgasm. And sometimes when someone doesn't have an orgasm, they're still happy because the whole event was so wonderful. But I will say with this number 7, they're saying it doesn't have to end in orgasm. You should try your damnedest to make sure that your partner is always having an orgasm. Because honestly, if I don't have an orgasm every time, I'd be pissed. I'd be ticked off. Okay. 8. Sexual coercion is not consent. And, we've discussed that a little bit. Pornography often displays scenes of reluctance that eventually lead to submission and someone giving in. Coercion does not equal consent. Let me say that again. Coercion does not equal consent. If they're clearly not into it, Stop trying. Step away is what they're trying to tell you in this step. Walk away. When someone is not interested in you, and they're making it very clear they're not interested in you, walk away. You know, I know women who are very nasty and very, well, let me say the word, bitchy. And because they want to make it very clear to men, I'm not interested in you, because so many men need to have someone be that nasty to them before they get it. I have had men that I have told them I'm not interested in, and they stalk me. I have had men, I've been out places I've met, they just kept coming at me, kept putting their hands on me, and no matter what I said to them, they wouldn't stop. Until I finally had to just smack them in the face, or I had to hit their arm away or something. I had to be mean to them for them to understand. And then, of course, I'm the bitch, right? I'm the slut. I'm the bitch. I'm the cunt, whatever they want to call you at that moment. No, you weren't listening to me. I said no. And I'm pretty outspoken. I'm pretty, you know, I'm not afraid to tell you, get your hands off me. You know, and I'm not a small girl, so I'm not afraid of somebody trying to hurt me. You know, if some guy tries to hurt me, he's going to get pretty hurt himself, and I'm going to make sure of it. So, you know, I'm going to put up a fight. So, yeah, you cannot just think that somebody wants you. You have to make sure that someone wants you to even touch them. Like I said, there is a box around you that's called a boundary box. You got at least, 3 feet, 3 to 6 feet that people should step back, keep away from you. And every time that you take a step closer to somebody, you should be making sure that they want you within that box. You know, I've had people, I'm a hugger. I like to hug, you know. I stopped doing that because I realized, wait a minute, I am going within someone's boundary box without asking them. Because I just walk up and hug somebody. Now, I'm not one of those people that grabs somebody and gives them a huge hug. I'll just give, like, you know, the move into the top half shoulder, move in, put your head next to somebody, hug. But there are people who don't like that. And I had my ex, one of my ex's relatives, is a female. And I'm thinking she had some trauma, something happened to her, or she may even have been on the autism spectrum. I don't know. She did not like being hugged. I had to stop hugging her. And then eventually, as she got to know me, as I was around more and involved more with my ex, but as I was around more, then she would hug me. She would come over and hug me. So that kind of taught me, you know what, I have to step back. And I came from a family who was very huggy. Everybody hugged everybody. You know, my dad would grab my friends from the side and give them a kiss on the cheek. And, you know, he didn't think anything of it. And I would always have to explain to my friends, listen, that's just my dad. Since you're my friend, you are now his daughter. So he is going to treat you just like he treats me. If I love you, he loves you. So that's what's going to happen. You're going to get affection from my dad. You are now a honorary daughter of his. And I would have to explain that to my friends, because sometimes they would be a little flabbergasted by my dad, because he's a very, very affectionate man. Not trying to flirt with anybody, nothing. No, no, no. He was happy that I had friends, and he was happy that they were at his house, and he felt happy that they wanted to be there and be around us. I have friends who come in from out of town, and they will go see my dad before they come see me. That's just how close they got with my father. They will go see my mom and my dad before they would come see me. So there you go. Or they would tell me that they were heading over to my parents' house and that they would meet me there at my parents' house. What? I thought you were here to come see me. Well, you know, they want to go see my parents. That's just how, much they got to understand that my dad was being affectionate. But I had to tell them. He didn't tell them. I had to tell them. And I had to sit my dad down a couple times and say, you have got to be careful when you're meeting a new friend of mine. You know, they're going to take you the wrong... They're going to think you're trying to feel them up or something. You have to stop doing this. And I said, and it's not that it's a bad thing, Dad. It's just that you've got to give people time to get to know you and understand you. Don't just assume that because they're my friend that I've told them about you. You have to get to know them on your own basis, right? So, yeah. Consent needs to be given even when it is hugging somebody. Even when it's just holding someone's hand. If you are stepping within that boundary box that is around people, and that 3 to 6 feet that is all around them, and we're talking 3 to 6 feet on each side, you know, you can't just come behind somebody and put your arms around them and without asking. You can scare people, give people heart attacks. You know, somebody, if you come behind somebody like that, they may turn around and punch you because you're scaring them. So you have to get consent for people before you step inside that boundary box. And every time you step a little bit closer, you have to get consent every time you get closer. And once you're in a relationship with somebody, if you're holding their hand, if you're kissing them, if you're every step that you make, if you're nibbling on their ear, ask, do you like that? Can I nibble on your ear? Can I kiss you? I mean, I'm a very outgoing, gregarious person, but I would say most of the guys that I have dated have always asked me, can I hold your hand? Can I give you a kiss? Can I nibble your ear? They will ask me before they do. And of course, do you want to have sex? Or do you want to wait? Are you ready? You know, and I just don't understand how most men don't understand that. I have never encountered, well, no, I can't say never encountered. I did have somebody who, I went on a date with him. He was a bigger guy. He literally pushed me to the back of his, we were ready to go in and meet my friends at a bar. And he literally pushed me to the back seat of his car and was attacking me. And this guy was like 6'4", fireman, you know, big guy. And I had to kick him in the balls and get out of the car. And this was a sports car, so it was a tight fit. And I got out of the car and I went inside and I started telling my friends, can anybody take me home? Can anybody take me home? You know? And eventually he said he would take me home. And I said, if anything happens, I can't believe I got back in the car with him, but he promised me nothing would happen. But I did tell my friends to call my dad and make sure that I got home. And I said, my friends just got on the phone. And they have your license plate number, and they have your name and everything. And if I don't get home in the next 15 minutes, they're calling the police. I mean, that's how I handled him. So yeah, you have to give consent. And that is the last check on this list of things for, you know, for consent. So make sure that you are taking your relationship slow. Make sure that you are getting to know people. Don't rush into things. You know, the good will come. And if you're wanting to rush things and you're feeling that you're wanting to be aggressive towards women, you need to go get help. Or if you're feeling you need to be aggressive towards men, you need to go get help. There's another issue going on there that doesn't have anything to do with sex or relationships that you're having with somebody you're dating. It's something that's happened to you that you need to work on. If you're needing to force yourself on people, you have more issues that need to be worked on than just giving consent. But always give consent, and know sex is not like porn. Relationships are not like porn. And don't think that they are. Learn from, you know, classes that you take, sex education classes that you take. You know, guys laugh at rom-coms You could probably learn a lot from watching rom-coms, right? Go get some of the most famous romantic comedies and watch what these guys are doing. How they're treating these women. There's a reason that women like these movies. Because it's presenting a type of person and the way they want to be treated by that person in those movies. Respect, caring, love. They're not forcing themselves on women. They're not rushing into things, etc., etc. You know, one of my favorite romantic comedies is 2 Weeks' Notice with Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant. And that is a slow burn. That's what your relationship should be like. It's a slow burn. That's what they call it. When things go slowly, but you know, both of them have a caring for each other the whole time. You know that they love each other the whole time. You know that there's something there, but they're just not admitting it because they're too afraid they're going to get hurt by the other person, blah, blah, blah. They've both been hurt in the past, etc. Slow burn. And it builds. That relationship builds and they get to know each other. And it takes time. And I'm not talking 2 or 3 weeks. I'm talking months, years to get to know somebody. So, yeah. Take things slow. That slow burn. Ask for consent. Sex is not like porn. Porn is the worst thing you can be watching. Romantic comedies might give you a little bit better idea. But even those are, you know, they're a little not true, you know, in every way either. Real life is different than the movies. Real life is different than porn. Right? So you need to just make sure that you're moving slowly with people, you're getting to know people, you're communicating, and then you can take the next steps. I don't know. What do you guys think? Let me know. Send me a message. Maybe tell me some ideas that you might have, things you might want to hear in podcasts. Let me know. Until the next time, Amherst Eclectic.